WNST, Towson Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are positively into post-election and maybe the front end of another COVID sweep here. We're going to be talking about that in this segment. All of it brought to you by our friends at Taharka. So the holidays are coming. One way you can eliminate all holiday sadness is to eat Taharka ice cream and ship it. We're going to be giving everybody a discount. $15.70 off an 8-pack delivered to your door. Hand-packed, delicious, serving up social change one scoop at a time, including some eggnog and some peppermint bark and some sweet potato, something. I got to give a shout-out to Moeller and Gary Realty. I got a lot of Moellers coming on in this segment, so Jeff Moeller is going to be joining us. My wife and I actually drove past Jeff Moeller's office right there on Frederick Road. We saw the sign out in front, and 818 on one side, and Franco's and El Guapo, and, of course, our friends at State Fair, where Don doesn't have the shirt yet, but they found a kid's extra large. So I still fit. It's a little short, but I kind of like it. It kind of feels a little beachy on me. And the Maryland flag jumps off. State Fair in Catonsville and our friends at El Guapo. Right around the corner from Moeller and Gary Realty, where they'll sell your home and list it and do it all very, very safely going into this winter. Rates are low. Call Jeff. All right. Last but never least, our friends at Fadley's. Now, our guest here, she's familiar with crab cakes. She grew up around crab cakes. She can get a Florida crab cake, yeah, but not a Fadley's crab cake. You ship those. You find them on BaltimorePositive.com. You can ship them anywhere in the world. And, Don, if you really loved your sister, you'd probably ship her some crab cakes, I would think. I'm just saying. I don't know.
Or I force her to get on the plane and come up here and have
hey,
some.
Hey, I'll throw this out there. I'm shipping them over to Austin, Texas for Thanksgiving.
So there you go. One click away. You can ship them from Jacksonville to Austin.
Exactly.
My nephew will be a happy man. It is a pleasure to welcome back my sister, my baby sister, to Baltimore Positive.
How many Moellers are there? I'm trying to give me the math on how many Moellers there are.
Way too many. But give me her credentials again, because you read the credentials and I thought, wait a minute, who is that?
Well,
I mean, if I was going to read your credential, former Baltimore County Executive Chief.
Right.
Yeah. But hers are much more impressive.
Superintendent of psychotherapist, which is why I'm here. International keynote speaker and consultant helping people understand interpersonal communication. She hails from Baltimore, but has made her way down to Sunshine and a little tax-free living down there
in Metro
Jacksonville,
Florida. She actually hails from Reno.
My bad.
Patty, since it's been all in the news, get it off your chest first. Is it Nevada or is it Nevada? Because you all take this quite personally out
we
there.
We take this personally. You got to have the ad in there. It's Nevada.
Nevada. Practice, Nestor. Nevada.
When I was about 12 years old, I went on a Skateland date with a girl from O-R-E-G-O-N. And I called it Oregon, and she said, it's Oregon. It's Oregon. So, I mean, you learn early on, Missouri, if you've ever been to Missouri, right? So, you learn these things.
We from take these things personally.
From Nevada, my sister, Patty Moeller, working hard on the front lines down there in Jacksonville. Patty, we're going to get into all of that. And again, thank you for your service, what you're doing. And we're gonna try to have you – we had you back on in April. Boy, that was a 100 years ago, and here we go again.
It feels like three pandemics ago.
Oh, my goodness. But before we do that, we don't ask you to get into the politics of the moment, but you are a successful woman. You've been a passionate advocate for women's rights and feminism as we look at it. Give us a sense, as we're about a week after an election, what it felt like as a woman to have an African-American woman on a stage who's going to be the vice president of the United States?
It's actually really very overwhelming and amazing. I think it doesn't matter what side of the aisle you're on. This is an amazing, incredible event. You're seeing women that have been marginalized for years and years and years and kept out of politics, kept out of being a CEO of a company, and to see this happen. I don't think there's been a better thing out there on Facebook than that photo of every vice president and her.
I shared that one.
Yeah, that's just phenomenal. And, you know, if you're a woman of color, we are breaking the glass ceiling. To me, watching on that stage and seeing men and women of color and ages and race, and that was what the United States is. And that, to watch a woman come into power and to know that she is so humbled by the women that have come before her that have walked that path so that she could get there. She never forgets to thank the people that have come before her. And it's an amazing feeling. As I panned and they panned the audience, all I could look into is all those little girls' eyes and know that they have the opportunity. If you have a family, you can look at your nieces, nephews, granddaughters, and say, what do you want to do? You want to go to the moon? Go to the moon. You want to be a president? Be a president. We're a step away from that. She is another groundbreaker. She is a game changer. I don't care, again, what side of the aisle on. If you just have to stand up and be proud and roar on this one.
You're wearing
We've
white.
Been marginalized too long.
You're doing that for Kamala.
I didn't even think of that. I'm
the
not
suffragette
gonna,
white.
I guess that's that subliminal messaging. I'll go with it.
Yeah, it's just warmer in Florida today than it is here. Patty Moeller is here. She's Don's sister. She's also a psychotherapist. And I guess when we last left you, we were parachuting into, wow, we're 3 whole weeks into this plague. It might last 14 more days because the president told me so on a chart. I saw that back in April. Here we are. And before I went on, the last thing I tweeted before I went on was a million diagnoses of COVID this week. Friends of mine all over my Facebook page with it, testing for it. My wife had some exposure a week and a half ago. She had a scare. So for everyone in this lockdown environment that hasn't hugged anybody, and I'm one of those people, I've elbow bumped a little bit, not fist bump, not, you know, I'm washing my hands. I'm doing all of that. This is not normal, right? And I think you went into that 3 or 4 weeks into this thing to say, hey, hang with it. Not going to last forever. Here we are. It's Thanksgiving. We're being told, don't get with your family. It's Christmas. Don't get with your family. It's, you know, and it's winter. And more than that, eating inside and all of the scientific stuff that goes into that, processing all of that is stressful for a lot of people.
Stressful for everybody, I believe. First of all, I really think we came out of the bat making a mistake by calling it social distancing. I truly believe if we had called it spatial distancing, we would have fared a little bit better. I think a lot of people have really suffered from not having human touch, human contact. And no, that wouldn't have happened with spatial distancing either, but the whole social distancing really meant that some people just wouldn't even go out or talk or be with somebody or sit at the end of the driveway with somebody. And it created an awful lot of isolation. It created anxiety. And that's something that I think we're going to continue to see and examine for years and years to come, the effects of that. You know, one of the things that we always, and as a therapist who deals with trauma, it's important to bring into this conversation big T trauma and little T trauma, and to help everybody understand. Big T traumas, Nestor and DI, are the traumas that we understand. Maybe somebody got shot. 911 was a big T. It's more feels life threatening. There's violence to it. Domestic violence, if it is actually violent, is a big T trauma. But little T traumas add up. They're cumulative. And so when we have little T traumas, there are things like feeling belittled, emotional abuse, feeling insecure, not feeling safe. What we know as trauma therapists is those are seen over time with cumulation that add up to be more pervasive and more difficult to treat than a big T trauma. It's almost easier for me to go treat somebody that's had a death of a spouse or a loved one and help them faster than somebody who's being has all of these little T traumas, because you've got to think of them as a brick. You've got one, you got another, you got another, and now we got a solid brick. And as a therapist, we got to undo each one of those layers, and it's extremely difficult. And it's hard not to bring these last 4 years, this last segment in. It's been like a river running through this country, and people aren't understanding that if you've had any known or unknown trauma in your life, these last 4 years have really exacerbated that. People,
I think if you've ever been bullied by anyone, to watch this man give a press conference was something I couldn't do anymore. It's just because I know that personality, and I don't like that person. I don't like anything about it. That kind of personality brings out a little bit of violence in me to make them stop hurting other people. You know, so it brings out a really negative emotion in me. And Don knows early on, I cut that out. I'm not spending dinner time with that guy or anyone like that guy, because in the real world, I wouldn't give that. I would throw that guy off my elevator or get off on the next floor before I would arrive.
Nestor, let me build on that a little bit. And then
good, you get some anger out of me. Your sister's here. She's here to help.
I need
some therapy. Let me tell you what, Patty, after the last 4 years, I do. So I'm glad you're here.
I want Patty to jump in to talk about your anger and your frustration. And then what I would call, and I don't think I'm alone, Patty, my angst, which comes from this, the real search for meaning that I try to come to by watching people that I love and care about on different levels. You know, some are former students, some are family members, some are good friends that I have a lot of respect for, who have been willing, and again, this is my perception, to give a president who, obviously, anyone who listens to the show knows that I find reprehensible on many personal levels. But my angst isn't about him. My struggle is where I get knots in my stomach over people that I care about being willing to give this man a pass. So,
no, they sanctioned it. They've sanctioned it.
You take Nestor's anger, you take my angst, you take the isolation that you're alluding to with social distancing that people are talking about, and we have this stew that seems to me is not a good place for our nation to be, and you get up and go deal with it every day.
I think what we're going to have to do as a nation in order to heal, it's obviously a very divided nation. You have it in both camps, but I think what we're going to need to do in order to have this conversation and exactly what you're talking about is we're going to have to ask people to sit back and reflect. If somebody tells you that I'm okay with that being in the presidency and the leader of our country, and then if the question's asked, well, what are your moral values? Well, I believe in empathy and I believe in love and I believe in kindness. Then it's our job, I think, as all of us as a nation, to ask people to sit back and reflect, then how is that reflecting your morals? And how does that value, where do you place that? And so we have to get people, I think people have become very numb because of their own past traumas, and they've been able to sift it back and say, well, that's not that big of a deal. You know, if we're talking about people who, it can take me a long time to find somebody that's in a domestic violence situation. They are so used to it, it doesn't seem, that's not why they come to me. And so it has to be uncovered. We have to be able to give people the freedom, but I encourage all of us to ask those that are voting for that president or voting for the administration of this toxicity to sit back and reflect on what their own moral value and compass is and where does that fall in alignment with that. They might be denying their own feelings, they might be denying their own trauma, and that they're looking at other things. But I think it's a matter of sitting back and learning how to reflect on what's been going on. As a therapist, I'm here to tell your viewers out there, the trauma that's been created is massive. Just massive. And we are going to have to really stop and learn how to listen. I ask that both sides really look at what are the things you're posting. The very people that are complaining about this person in office are making equally horrible memes and things. You're no better than that person. You've allowed your anger to overtake, and we need to reflect on that on both sides. How are we going to open this conversation if both of us keep slashing at one another? And so we've got to look at every tweet, every post, everything Instagram that we put out there. If you're calling somebody an idiot or stupid or a color of the skin or just go, if it's an attack, it's no better than what we've seen for the last 4 years, but we've gotten very accustomed to it. So right now, that's the response I'm seeing out on Facebook and on Instagram, are attacks on both sides. We need to stop. We need to reflect.
Social media is incredible in a lot of ways, but I think the one thing that it could do now is that we're all isolated. I mean, realistically, we're isolated, but in a lot of ways, not spiritually isolated, because we're one reach away from Sister Patty, Brother Don, whomever, whatever. We always have an escape to have something that's company, that feels like company, that's not human company, right? And
correct. That's not healthy.
That's the part of the last 7 or 8 months that really sort of weirds me out, is how attached to this thing I've become, and this thing I've become, and this thing I've become, yeah, in this sort of Truman Show kind of way for everyone, that I know everyone's politics in my world. It has altered relationships for the rest of my life. I don't think there's any getting around that one way or another, forgiveness, openness, whatever. There are people who I will not communicate with anymore because I've just disconnected from them, and that's okay. But I think that there's
But it's not okay. That's what is so sad.
If you were in a room,
we're
you wouldn't be disconnected,
okay,
though, I guess is what I'm saying. Not people I want to be. I'm different. I have 100,000 people in my world. Believe me, there's a lot of people, yeah, that came from high school that don't need to be in my world. That's very easy to just unsift from. That's fine. But I think there's a part of that where in the old world, we wouldn't have known anything. If the conversation ever came up, it would have been human as opposed to what it is. And there's all these little micro conversations, again, microaggression as,
sure,
well, going on, that not being in a room, you can't solve it on Zoom. It's F you, and you go away, unfriend, unclaim, yeah, and you're not going to run into them anymore because we don't go out anymore, right?
Anymore.
There's no chance to rectify
it
because you don't,
yeah,
bump into them at the water cooler, right?
Well, I think we have to be understanding that there are millions and millions of people that are hurting on both sides, because, you know, in this world of politics, what we're seeing, for whichever side you're on, again, this isn't a denial thing for me. Both sides are stressed out. Both sides aren't sleeping. Both sides are dealing with weight issues. Both sides are fighting and talking about relationships, just like you taught. I mean, or talked about. Remember that the same people on the other side of the aisle are having the same problem. They're having to disconnect from us as well. And so it is, mine's to keep that open view of there's a lot of angst and pain on that side as well. Not everybody stands in a place that we don't like them. They're still family, they're still friends. And I understand that the disconnection, I see it in my office every day from people coming in. I had a young person in my office today saying that they are from up in New Jersey and they have changed sides, and the people in New Jersey and the six friends, but now they're not talking to each other. It was kind of like what you said, Nestor. This young man got some FUs from a few friends for the new political views that he's had.
And that's enough. And I walk away and I say, that's it. I'm not getting back in that elevator, right? Yeah. Literally. I mean, Ryan
Minor
admitted
that
he hasn't talked to his father.
Yeah, but listen to what Patty's saying. Patty, build on that. But I'm going to tell you, we recently did, and I don't know if you've heard it, but we recently did a joint podcast with a number of other folks who have successful podcasts in Maryland. And one of our co-hosts for that is a young man named Ryan Minor. And Ryan, I've had a lot of people react to his segment. He talked about the fact that he and his father have not spoken for months as a result of this election.
It's one thing to throw an old high school friend off your page. It's different when it's your father, right? Literally.
Yeah, and again, we need to learn how to have active listening. And active listening, as I write about in the book and as I talk to people, active listening is about listening with trying to understand and not listening to respond. And when you get a family member like that, that won't speak to each other, they both want to respond to each other. They don't want to listen to understand each other. It just, and that's one of the sad things. So many people are in my office for that they haven't spoken to their children or won't go out to dinner with them anymore, or brother, sister, whoever. That's unfortunate. We've got to find a way to unify and to have conversations but that we take some of the emotion out of it as much, that's going to be hard. I just look at my family. You take the emotion out of this. We have people on that side and we have people on this side, equally emotional. But unless we learn how to stop and have a conversation and hear each other, literally hear each other to try to understand, I'm not saying we do understand, but that we just don't flick people away because we have a difference of opinion. And I think that's one of the things I told somebody, I was on the phone call yesterday with a professor from the university and we were talking about it. It feels like there's been an underlying current river running underneath us. And so many people haven't understood the cumulative effect of the negativism, the cumulative effect of every single day waking up and seeing somebody else indicted or somebody else being made fun of. And, you know, that's the thing. It's the cumulative effect that people are feeling. It's kind of like walking the beach and having a little piece of sand in your shoe. And you don't notice it, but about a mile down, it's irritating. And about another quarter mile, man, you got a blister. And people are coming into our offices saying, I have this anger and I have no idea what it's from. And it's because it's that underlying current that has swept them away that they, and it might be plugging into something, a past trauma that they've had, or it just might be the accumulation of watching people be marginalized every single day. It's been exhausting.
You know, Patty, my goodness, I'm almost numb by that analysis. Just right before I came on for this podcast, my grandson, Jake was here and he was, you know, he visited, came over, wore his mask the whole time, you know, grabbed an apple. But in the middle of that visit, while he's giving me, I always call him, he's either going to be the next Steve Kornacki or the next, Dan Patrick, you know, I mean, he's got this, he loves to talk about ideas, but in the midst of all this, he says, you know, Pop, because he's anticipating that his basketball season will be canceled. He said, you know, Pop, and he was just dead serious. He said, I really wish COVID was over. And I thought, wow, you know, almost 14 years old out of the mouths of babes. And I think that's the example that you're giving. It's this piece of sand in the shoe. I've got to tell you, Patty, I was thinking, you know, you and I have the same dad. Your mom was a nurse. My mom was a nurse. I think of all these healthcare workers. And as we were talking here last night, you know, Linda and I sort of both at the same time turned to each other and said, my heart aches for these people because here they go again. How much more can they take? And I know off the air, I had asked you to talk a little bit about, we think of the frontline healthcare workers, but I'm trying to put myself in your shoes and your fellow mental health providers' shoes. It seems to me that you all must be under incredible stress. And I guess my question is, are you taking care of one another?
I think that's the miracle question right now is who's taking care of us. And I've talked to the head of Jacksonville University yesterday. I was on a long phone call with Dr. Nguyen from UNF. And it's the ongoing conversation is that we see therapists trying to, you know, the worlds have changed. I'm still going into the office. I have a setting that's safe and I can do that, but I didn't get home until 10 to 9 last night, and my day started at 9 a.m., and I had 40 minutes for lunch. It's flat out, and as we talk to therapists, they're tired. I know therapists that are doing their Zoom consultations and therapy sessions in a closet because they're home and their kids are doing school from home virtually. And so they're in a closet trying to do their therapy. Yes, we are stressed out. Yes, we are doing the best to reach out to one another and talk to each other and make sure we're okay. I continue to ask people to reach out to somebody and just ask that question, are you okay? What are you doing? We can't not help but throw in SAD, which is seasonal affectiveness disorder, and that's a real thing. So as the season
explain
changes,
that. Yeah, I was going to say explain that because I certainly the time thing the last week and a half. I think when you get older, it's even worse because you're so used to what you're used to. This one's really struck me. The last couple, 10 days, 12 days, it's really been a mess for me when it gets dark at 4:30 in the afternoon. My wife and I have gone out walking on 70-degree days here, and it gets dark, and it just feels like 10 o'clock at night, and it is dispiriting.
And it is, and it's not just that it's a time change. It's pervasive again. It's one of those things that you don't really feel like getting out of bed. You've lost your motivation to go play some of the sports that you've done. You're sleeping more. Your weight's changed, either gaining or losing. And we need to find ways. And the three best ways to do that are, you know, the light therapy. I tell people if you're sitting someplace, get as much light as you can during the day. Either go sit out in the sun, even if you're in a cold place, put on a jacket, go sit out in the sun, get that vibe, go do psychotherapy, because honestly, it's a strong depression and it's nothing that we want to brush off. You know, a lot of people go, oh, you're sad, as if that's, yeah, whatever. It's not a whatever. It's something that is a really strong mental health issue and we need to address it. You know, I've noticed that for myself in September, I was preparing for it to come because I'm an outdoor person. And I've been walking my dog over at the university every single night. I get off of work 7-8 o'clock at night and we're over there and we're romping for an hour. Well, I don't feel safe on a university campus that has no people on it, right, at 8 o'clock at night. So I rearranged my schedule in September to make sure one night a week, I'm off at a certain time so I can go be on a pickleball court, so that I can laugh, so that I can be outdoors. We are seeing people reach out, just you and I talked about it, Dia, yesterday. And then last night there was a post on a mental health therapist network that I'm on just saying, who's okay? Who's not okay? It was thread after thread after thread. I'm not doing well. Can't do my notes. What am I going to do? Should I take a day off? Going to take 4 days off. Can't see another client. So we're having to pay attention to this. We're going to have to pay attention to our ER doctors, our nurses, anybody on the front line, anybody in an addiction setting. Lord Almighty. The two big things that I see in my office is addiction, popping, and domestic violence. And the thing that I think you guys, I hope that your viewers start to understand is I have people coming into my office saying, I feel like I'm being abused like I was in my marriage, or my abuser did that to me and it feels the same way. And that's what I'm talking about, those small T's that add up, is that those are the things that we're really seeing people very anxious about. People that have done great. I think when I talked to one of my friends that's in North Carolina, and he is a Marine. And one of the things I asked him, I said, what are you seeing? And he said, right now, we don't feel like we can get ahead. I just got a great job. I was moving out. I had retired from, you know, the Army, and I'm out and I'm got a good job. And then I'm dropped because of the COVID stuff. Like, we don't feel like we can get our momentum. So we have a lot of people that way that are still really, really hurting. They're wondering where their next meal's coming from.
Yeah, it's just, you know, and Patty, I guess to pile on that, we've got the seasonal disorder. We've got COVID. We're back to the sand in the shoe, right? And then I guess I would ask you, we've all read a lot in our lifetimes about what they call the holiday blues. Is that a real thing, or is that just sort of an urban legend? Or are there a significant amount of people in the country who do struggle, let's say, from Thanksgiving into the New Year? Is that a real thing?
Yes, and that might even fall under that sad, right? That might be part of that. But it's absolutely true. I think some people look into the holidays. Not all of us had a Leave It to Beaver kind of in our head, you know, incidents. We've had families that don't get along together, and here it is, Thanksgiving, and we're going to pile 40 people into the house, and half of them don't like each other because they've never figured out how to deal with each other. Yeah, I think it's very difficult. I think anybody that's dealing with addiction and nobody's kind and understanding about that, that's tough for them. I think this year is going to be harder than ever. It's like Nestor said, you know, are we all going to get together? Do we not get together? How are we going to do this?
One thing is, we have 250,000 people that have lost a loved one, right? Or have a family,
correct,
right, that feels cheated out of not having that person at their holiday, right? Literally.
Right. Or that they couldn't attend the funeral. You know, you've got that added on there too. So
couldn't be there when they died. I mean, you go right down the list. And for those of you just tuning in, we are with, proud to say we're with my sister, Patty Moeller, but more importantly than my
Reno.
Sister. From Reno, by way of Jacksonville, Florida, noted mental health therapist in Jacksonville.
You know what? She's doing so well. She's had good weather her whole life.
Exactly. She's had good weather.
She's like, we're going to go walk in a park and I move my schedule. Good luck with that in Minneapolis. All right, Patty? Good luck with that.
Nationally renowned speaker and author. And Patty, you wrote your first book, Renew and Restore, and it came out, boy, what an irony, right before pretty much the pandemic hit. I mean, you write this terrific book about a personal journey and personal mental health, and then the pandemic hits. Again, if you're out there and you're listening and you want a terrific book that's an easy read on how to deal with your own mental health, Renew and Restore, it's available at all bookstores. Patty's holding it up for those of you watching us on YouTube. It's available on Amazon. Patty, when you look back on that book now, what are the key themes? Give us your elevator speech about that book and how it can be helpful during a pandemic.
The analogy running through the entire book is a river. And 2020, let's talk about it. We've had calm water, maybe January and some of February, right? And then we hit rapids. We've been in whirlpools. We've been in tide pools. We have seen it all. And so I definitely think that that's how 2020 has been, is just being able to ride the rapids and see how you are. And there are many of us that have times felt like we had two oars with us. There are times where I felt I lost my oar. There are times where I feel my boat has just turned upside down and I've been head under the water. I think one of the things as I looked back and through the book is I wrote about, and I wrote it down, the things that we need are safety, love, security, and a sense of belonging. I'm going to say that again, safety, love, security, and a sense of belonging. And that has been what has also happened, is we haven't had those things. We might have had the love for our family, but it's the true love from our family that we want is togetherness, hugs, phone calls. We wanted to feel safe. We have not felt safe, whether it was from the current administration or from the pandemic itself. We have not felt safe. Many people have been marginalized. They don't have a sense of belonging. My book is about how to make people feel seen, heard, and validated. And I think that's what we're talking about. People have not felt seen, heard, or validated in these last 4 years. And we're seeing the effects of that. You talk about this Kamala Harris, oh my gosh, she's the person who I think is, for women and for marginalized group, giving us hope, giving us such great hope that anybody is going to belong on that stage. We will welcome every gender. We will welcome every religion. We will welcome older people. We will welcome the young. And we need to get back to that place. It's going to take us long, long time. We have to be able to be reflective of both sides. I talk about gratitude in my book. Yes, 2020 has been the year. But if we reflect and find what you have found in this year, it's also going to be tremendous. We have found out how we can reach out to others. Personally, I have found out how I can talk to others. I have found out that I can wear earbuds in my ear and do Zoom and be okay with it. We have learned to be resilient. We have learned how to help our neighbors more than we ever have before.
By the way, our children have learned this more than I did as a kid, right?
Yes, yes. And I think the people that have done extremely well, and that's all of us, we've done our best. Now, as always, is our best been good enough? No, but we're going to learn from that. We've been resilient. There is great, great hope in what we are trying to do. Conversations like this, conversations like I had yesterday with the high officials of universities, we're teaching these young people The young kids that I have in my practice that come to visit with me, and some I've had to say, you're out partying too much and I need to do Zooms with you, have been so understanding of that. You know, there's another whole dynamic we could spend another hour or two. These young kids that have been out doing what they're supposed to be doing, which is college kids, are coming home to mom and grandmothers and grandfathers, that might not be a healthy situation. I mean, they're a group of young people that are going to need help so much. It's incredible. It's incredible. But yeah, I think the book is definitely talks about kindness, about seeing, hearing, and validating. I spend an awful lot of time about what I talked about early is active listening. Please listen to understand and not respond.
Yeah, that's not easy for us, particularly men. You know, that's I get reminded of that by the women in my life all of the time. We're not particularly good at that. The book is Renew and Restore, Patty Mohler. There it is. You can get it at Amazon. Get it where local books are sold. It really is a terrific, terrific book. Patty, before we let you run, I hate to reduce things and oversimplify things, but folks are driving around right now. They're listening to you talk. They know they're struggling. They're not dummies. What's one or two things that when this podcast ends in a minute or two, what's one or two things you hope folks can do to say, okay, you're struggling, just try this one or two things? What would they be?
I thought about that. I was wondering if that would be asked. Please pause. Please reflect on how you feel. Allow yourself to feel it, whether it's anger or frustration. There's nothing wrong with that. Don't try to shove it away. I think a lot of people are trying to shove it away. And then find a healthy outlet for that. Maybe it's to write a check to your favorite cause. Maybe it is to volunteer. Maybe it's to get on a Zoom and read to children a story. Maybe it's to learn how to meditate. But it is this time that we have is to look at gratitude. We can all sit here and be in anger and frustration, but if we sit back and really sit down and think about what we're grateful for, that the body, the mind is not capable. This is so important for it. So this is the takeaway. This is it. The mind is not able to live in anxiety and depression if it's living in the life of gratitude. It cannot do either anxiety or depression and gratitude. The brain is that smart that it says, nope, can't multitask on that one. You're going to live over in gratitude. I'm not letting those two guys in.
So gratitude's the magic elixir here.
Yeah, and I think gratitude being written down is the true key.
Interesting.
Because
I probably write that word more on a daily basis than any other word in the English language, and I do a lot of writing. So I use that in every letter I write, like literally.
And it's
in every text. It's probably the number one word in my phone because I probably text it more than any. Instead of thank you, I use the word gratitude.
Because we need to identify 10 things in your day every single day and write them down. And I have a reason for writing them down. A, it puts it out in the universe so the universe can hear that. Two, if you're writing it, pen to paper, crayon to paper, it actually is the vibration of the pen onto a piece of paper that calms our parasympathetic nervous system. And so when you're out at a restaurant, hand a child a pen, a crayon, and a napkin and watch them calm down. Hand them an iPad or a phone and watch them zing out of orbit, right? So one calms it down. But it's also that we spend an awful lot of time thinking out there, outside of our circle. And we stop to think that, oh my gosh, I really do have a roof over my head and there's a hurricane out there. I feel really grateful for that. I'm really grateful that I can be on this podcast today. And we write those things down. It's pretty hard to let those other two big things called anxiety and depression creep in. And if they do, if I have a client in my office and is really dealing with anxiety or depression, I truly will do this, you guys. I'm going to do it. Nestor, give me two things that you're grateful for right now.
The fact that we've had two senators on the program today and the fact that I have some delicious pomodoro pasta with crab and shrimp from Franco's on my stove that I'm about to eat right when we're done.
Awesome. DI too.
Yeah, mine are pretty easy. The fact that my children and grandchildren live a stone's throw away and they can visit on a daily basis. And although it doesn't even compute, the fact that I've had to spend this pandemic with not only my wife, but my best friend, and the thought that we've been together more than 50 years. So I'm very grateful for that.
You know, and those are anchors for you, boy, you guys. They really are. You know, when you come back to that and you're getting upset or you feel yourself kind of stressing out and you bring those two things back in, both of you went like this. Your shoulders went down. You relaxed and you kind of really just spoke from your hearts. And that's what happens to people on a daily basis when we introduce gratitude.
See, Patty doesn't know that I spent, you know, weeks of the time with Tony Robbins. So I got my books out. Yeah. I'm going through, you know, primary questions in life and, you know, just crazy stuff that I work on that sort of inspires Baltimore Positive around here. So it's when I get together with people like you and my dear friend John Hawkins down in Florida, who I got together with a couple weeks ago to talk about such things, that I do enjoy this. It's been a great visit. I feel like I know you a little better now. You know, we haven't been in the same room together, but, you know, I think we need to have you on a little bit more often. I told my pal John I want to have him be one of our mental health experts and insiders and bring calming things down here a little bit, Patty. I don't know if you know, but I need that around here.
Well, we all need that, Nestor.
Well, you know, when he said the one thing to do, one advice, when people would ask me for advice, I'm a yoga guy, and it's really been taken away from me. One of the things I'm upset about with COVID is it's taken hot yoga and classes and the communal thing that was really important to me. I haven't gained weight, but I haven't gained fitness. There's only a certain kind of fitness you can get when it's 100 degrees. And I see in your book the yoga side, but also breathing. And I heard you mention meditation, and I knew that was going to be part of where you were going in that. But just breathing, just when I'm really pissed off, when I'm really sad, when I'm really frustrated, just the notion of like five deep breaths can like, can send your nervous system into a better, always in a better place when you breathe. If you breathe through it before you throw the punch, before you throw the text, before you, if you breathe five times, you'll get a different outcome. I've learned that. I'm done talking though.
Well, and go ahead.
Go ahead, sis. Go ahead.
If you do the big breath in for four, hold it for two, and let it out slowly for six, you even get better results.
There you go. So the things I learn when you're on here, Patty.
Well, Nestor, you know, we are very proud, and we make it clear all the time. We're very proud to have been named Baltimore's Best Conversation by Baltimore Magazine. But you and I made no secret of the success right from the beginning. We only get named Baltimore's Best Conversation because of guests like Patty Mulwer. It's these kinds of discussions that make Baltimore Positive what it is. So, Patty, thanks for joining us by way of Jacksonville. Yeah. And we, as Nestor takes us out, we'll talk soon.
If he doesn't send you crab cake, I'm telling. All right, Patty, just so you know. Faithley's our great sponsors. And, of course, Moeller & Gary Realty. Don talks about those grandkids coming in. Right down the street in Catonsville, you can find them at Moeller & Gary Realty. Also, our friends at Taharka, we're going to be shipping ice cream to folks at a deep discount for the holidays because ice cream makes people happy, especially Taharka ice cream. Our friends at State Fair, I'm wearing the shirt, in El Guapo in Catonsville, have been feeding us for the better part of 2 years from the inception of Baltimore Positive. We're appreciative to their sponsorship. And stop by, get some takeaway. We did that the other day. My wife and I went for a beautiful walk down in Howard County. Stopped by, got a little porchetta, and picked up a little chicken salad. Make sure you do that at State Fair. I am Nestor, on behalf of former Baltimore County Executive Don Mohler, and my high school guidance counselor, and his sister, Patty Mulwer, down in beautiful Metro Jacksonville. We are WNST.net, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We never stop talking your mental health, Baltimore Positive.